Take your Bibles, if you would, to Titus chapter 2 tonight. So if you found your place in Titus chapter 2, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. Tonight I'm going to read all 15 of these verses here in Titus chapter 2. And we're going to tonight conclude our character study series. So here we are. I'm going to read out loud. You follow along silently. These 15 verses in Titus in chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, you may have guessed that this particular characteristic, the last one, and we have been going alphabetically for the most part. And so this particular one is mentioned here in verse 14, that Jesus Christ, it says of him, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's good enough. We've heard that before, right? That we're a chosen generation, we're a holy priest, we're a peculiar people. Those things. But he adds something here that's very important, kind of tying all this up. And it kind of ties up all these characteristics really well. And it happens to start with a Z. Zealous. Zealous of good works. We're going to get to the particular point of good works here tonight. But I first want to kind of encompass this word and explain it to you. And why it's such a fitting end to this study. Why it's such a cherry on top of the ice cream sundae kind of thing. Where if we can incorporate this and show this and bear this out in our lives, it would be like that finishing touch. That thing that just kind of sets it off or sets it over the top. And that it is our Christian life. The life that we live for our Lord. Complete in our characteristics and our development as Christians. So if you think about all the things that we've talked about, all the different characteristics, and I, for sake of time, I don't have time to mention them. And if I start mentioning a few of them, I know I'll leave out one. Why didn't you mention that one? That one's important. They're all important, okay? I think there are around 60 or so that we've mentioned over the several months that we've been doing this. Now, warmly engaged or ardent, that's a word we don't use much anymore, ardor, or however you pronounce that, that's how I pronounce it, being ardent in something, in the pursuit of an object. So it's this thing of being zealous speaks of our motivation, our expressiveness, and how we go about these things. If you think of someone as a zealot, right? You think of a nut, right? Yeah.
You're one of those people. You know what I'm saying? This is not how it's described in the Bible. And that's for the, really what that word means. But it's this passion. It's this just a drivenness. And it's almost what people might call crazy. To be zealous about something. That means it just consumes you. And it's what you're all about. So that's why I'm saying this thing of being zealous and honing this characteristic in our lives is so very important. Because what else do we have to be than a Christian? What else do we have to be known for? And why don't people think we're nuts? They should think we're nuts. Oh, it's just one of those crazy Baptists again. I like that when they say that. I do. You said you would. Yes. Yes, I would. I mean, isn't him saying, purify unto himself a peculiar people enough? But not only a peculiar people, a peculiar people zealous. That means they're ardent in the pursuit of. They're trying and they're passionate. They're warmly engaged. They use that word ardor, which is simply just showing an attachment, an emotional attachment to it. You want to grab hold of it, and it's just everything that you are. It's your being. That's why they said that they were called Christians first at Antioch, because these people, they were crazy. They were preaching the gospel. They were defying persecution. They were going after people and witnessing to them, etc., etc., etc. We ought to be zealous as Christians. It ought to be every fiber of our being. Not just partitioned where, yeah, I'm a Christian on Sundays and I'm a Christian on Wednesdays and I'm a Christian when I'm around other Christians, but otherwise I'm just a common person. That's not someone who's zealous. Another way you could kind of describe zealous is someone who's sold out. It's all or nothing. This is who I am, and that's it. And I'm not anything else. I don't know how to be anything else. I don't want to be anything else. I'll do anything for the cause. Right? That's a zealot, right? That's someone who's zealous, is they'll do anything for the cause. Whatever cause it is. Because they're just poured into it. It's all that they are in their being. And that's what we need as Christians. First of all, and foremost, we ought to be zealous when it comes to God. When it comes to God and our relationship with Him, we ought to be zealots. We ought to be zealous about it. We ought to be engaged. We ought to be passionate. We ought to be about the pursuit of God. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." He said, hey, many times of his own testimony in the book of Acts, he said, listen, I was zealous above measure. If you wanted a zealot about the Jewish God, I was the picture. I was the poster child. I was the poster boy for that particular event. I wreaked havoc on the church in the name of Jehovah God. I mean, he was the guy. And he said, hey, they have this zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. We of all people ought to be zealous when it comes to God. How dare a Jehovah's Witness, a Muslim, a Methodist, a Lutheran, a non-denominational, a Pentecostal, be more zealous about God than we are? Shame. There's no way. We have the truth. And we tout that fact quite well. I think I used that word right. Remember, tout and tote. Anyways, whatever. But yet, in our churches, it seems like, there's an apathy when it comes to God. There's a kind of a carefree feeling about it. Can I borrow a phrase from one of the verses of the scriptures? Brethren, these things ought not so to be. It shouldn't be that way for us. We should be zealous when it comes to God. The Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, I mean, they were after Christ in his ministry. And they say, oh, your disciples, they touched a piece of corn on the Sabbath day, and oh, they didn't wash their hands, and oh, you healed a blind man, and you did this. Oh, you can't do that, and oh, he blasphemeth, and okay, they were zealous to God, but not according to knowledge. Even Jesus, when he confronted Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of these Jews, and don't you know these things? Folks, they had the outward show, but they didn't have the inward knowledge. We have the inward knowledge, but why don't we have the outward show? The outward show is not bad. It's not bad. You know, they say about trash talking. It's not trash talking if you can back it up. Folks, we ought to live the outward life. That's good. It's not a bad thing. Oh, you guys are Pharisees. You hold your nose. No, we have a real relationship with God, and it ought to bear out in our lives. That's being zealous toward God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, that's what it means to be zealous for God. Submitting ourselves to his righteousness. And that's what he asks us to do. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the life of a Christian. Of someone who's zealous when it comes to God. In Deuteronomy 4:29, the people were told, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's someone who's zealous. You're sold out. And guess what? The Bible tells us that whatever's on the inside does what? Shows up on the outside. It shows up on the outside. And that's exactly what we want to portray. We want them to call us a Jesus freak, right? We want to be those Bible thumpers or the church people are here. Hallelujah. Hey, sir, are you a pastor? Yes, I am. Folks, that's not a badge of honor that I wear to be proud about myself. But it's a badge of honor to wear to say, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I mean, I'm glad somebody knows so that God can be shown to them in their lives. We ought to be zealous. Hey, you could probably name different people that are known for their causes. Right? Whack jobs. Terrorists. All these people that we talk about. They were zealot. Oh, they're a zealot, right? You know them. They've made a name for themselves. For all the wrong reasons. But how many Christians are really known for being a zealot for their God? That's what we need to be. We need to be that kind of Christian. Solomon was told to serve God with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, and that he should seek him all of his days. We read in Psalm 119 many times, over and over again. But in the first 7 verses, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." You want to be blessed? Be a zealot for God. Be zealous. Go after him. Seek him. Search him out. Live him in your life. Become like him. Be conformed to the image of his dear son. That's a zealot. You look like Christ. You act like Christ. You talk like Christ. You show Christ. You do the things that he would do. You don't do the things he wouldn't do. That's someone who's zealous. You know, these people that are zealots, they're known for these things. They don't violate the laws of the thing that they're following. They die in them. Hello? You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Yeah. You better have a strong stomach if you're going to go through that one. It's graphic. But those are people that were zealous of their God. They were zealous. Hebrews tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's someone who's zealous for God. Jesus in John 15 said about he and his Father and the Christian, that we are to abide in him. "You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What does it mean to abide in something? It means we're a part of it. Right? It is part of us. It's kind of that thing of being grafted into something. And we are. So let's show it outward. Let's be zealous about it. Just recently, I was reminded about a story. It was at a youth conference this summer. And one of the preachers was talking about Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, in Numbers 25. And it was one of those wild stories in the Bible. It's just a unique circumstance and situation. And I'm not going to go over for it. If you say, "Well, I want to know what it is all about now." 2 things. You can go and look at the youth conference message if you'd like to. Good message. Or you can go back to Numbers 25 and you can read it for yourself. Okay? But I'm going to tell you the end result of it. Okay? Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, decided to do something about some wickedness and sin in the camp. Outward sin. Open sin. And he did it. He acted upon it. And he was not afraid to. And this is what God said. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God." Wow. Wow. What have we done for our God? Could he even say about our lives as believers in Christ, as born again children of God, whose sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have been zealous for our God? To this date, in your life, could you have a commendation like Phinehas, that you were zealous for your God. If tonight was our last breath that we breathe, would that be something God would say of us? I hope so. And guess what? It can be. It can be. And it should be. We should be zealous when it comes to our God. Now, back in our text, it was mentioned that we need to be zealous of good works. We've been set apart. We're a peculiar people. And we've been set apart that we might be zealous of good works. Are you pursuing these things? Are you engaging in them? Is it your passion? Are you ardent in the pursuit of good works? Are you looking to accomplish something for the Lord? That's what we should be. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you want to live a good life? Are you trying to be the best human being that you can possibly be in the eyes of your community, in the eyes of your neighbors, in the eyes of your family, in the eyes of your church family? You say, why does that matter? That's part of being a zealot. You know, these people that I've made mention of, these whack jobs, these weirdos, right? These terrorists, these nuts from cults and things like that. Can I carefully say something about that? Were they zealous in the works of those things? They were, weren't they? And toward their causes, they were sold out. There was no turning back from them. And again, I mentioned the second time. They were for the wrong reason. We have the right reason. Shouldn't we likewise and more so be zealous of these things? Many times we treat good works like leprosy. Well, I don't want to be a Pharisee. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Okay. I'm not saying here that we're not going to fall. I'm not saying we're not going to falter from time to time and stumble from time to time. But we ought to be passionate about doing the right thing. About following principle. Hey, look. I'm passionate about some things, if you didn't notice. Okay? And sometimes, I'll step off of those things for whatever reason and such and so forth. But when it comes to God and the things of God, there ought not to be any stepping off. I was telling somebody something about this before, how the Bible tells us, and I'll tell you, and you know this, that to bear false witness or to lie is wrong. Right? It's against God to do that. Does that mean that if the preacher does tell a lie, that lying is no longer wrong? No, all it means is the pastor's a man. He's human. You know, there's all these things about different types of churches and all these scandals and all these different things. Does that mean that the gospel's not true? Does that mean the Bible's not true? Does that mean, listen, I'll tell you this from a personal experience. There are pastors that fall into sin. Just like there are church members that do the same thing. You've heard stories about pastors that run off with their secretary or do this or do that or whatever the case may be. Does that mean all the messages that they preached about Jesus and all the messages that they preached about salvation and all the people that got saved in their ministries, that's not real? No, it's not. It's not the case. It just means they're a sinner saved by grace just like anybody. They can backslide, they can fall, they can sin, they can do things wrong too. But we need to have a passion for good works. We need to have a passion for Bible reading and prayer. walking with God, being with God. When it comes to God, we ought to have a passion for Him. We ought to be zealous about it. You know what? God gives us the tools. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. That brings us in all things into remembrance and guides us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. In Titus chapter 3, Jesus Christ is said here that He wants us to succeed. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It's profitable. It's good. Remember, we talked about the church in Laodicea and how they had an opportunity. They're mentioned, you know, did you know the church in Laodicea is not only mentioned in the book of Revelation? It's in other parts of Scripture. They were close to the church of Colossae. And in Colossians, you can read about that, how Paul said, hey, share this letter with them too, that they can be successful and they can succeed. You know, sometimes this is us, where Jesus has to say, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You see, what is he talking about there? Did you pay attention? I know thy works. Are we on fire for God concerning the works we've been created in Christ Jesus to be? To be honest, just, pure, holy. Those things are important in our lives. He says, hey, I counsel thee. Let me go back to this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That's a zealous Christian right there. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zealous. He says, get some passion about you. Get some ardor in your life. Get some engagement here where you're going after and you're in pursuit of your works again. Remember, of Ephesus, they left their first love. They were encouraged to go after that again. Folks, we need to be encouraged to go after good works again. It does matter how you live. I know people always say about us, oh, you Baptists, and you're always legalistic in your approach to things. No, we're not. And if you know the definition of that word, you'd understand it. I'm not saying this to be saved. We're already saved. Because of the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. It's not of our merit. It's all on Him. But we are created unto good works. And we should have a passion to live the right kind of life for Christ. That's being zealous. It's our reasonable service. So, not only do we need to be zealous of God and zealous of good works, but the last thing I want to mention, just in closing, is we need to be zealous about the lost souls of mankind. We need to be passionate. We need to be in pursuit of those that need the gospel. If you can walk by somebody and not even give one thought to their never dying soul, then you're not zealous enough. Is that a fair statement? Yeah. Then you're just not zealous enough. So get better at it. And I need to get better at it. Because there are times where I will just walk by somebody or meet somebody at a store and not have a gospel track and not take the time to talk to them about Christ. I've been there before. And I shouldn't do that. I should care more about their never dying soul. God allowed me to be at the store at the same time that they were, at the same place that they were, for that very same moment that they were, for a reason. You ever think about that? For a reason. That particular individual was shopping for discounted meats, just like you were, at that particular time, at that particular store. You say, is that where you go? Yes, it is. Because I like animals. I already told you that. Hey, the other day, I was at the right place at the right time. I got bratwurst. I got spare ribs. I got baby back ribs. Half price. Oh, and marinated chicken thighs. Half price. So I bought all of them. I spent like $100 on meat. But it's in my freezer. So if you need some, come see me, okay? While I was there at the store, I was able to give a gospel tract to the lady that was checking out all the food. You know, it doesn't take all that much. But there are times when we just don't. We're just not zealous. We're not passionate about it. We're not pursuing it like we should. You know, Jesus, he cared about the lost. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. In Matthew chapter 9, it says he went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In John chapter 4, as they were waiting for the woman at the well to go back into town and find all her friends that the disciples didn't talk to. He said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. All through the book of Acts, and the own testimony of the Apostle Paul, they cared about the souls of men. They were zealous about them coming to Christ. Is that your passion? We're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. We're commanded to teach them all things whatsoever he has taught us. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, to the Greek. I love what Paul said before that in verse 15. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. It's what his life was all about. Is that what our life is all about? That's a zealous Christian. Hey, if you want a zealous Christian, just go study the Apostle Paul's life. That's a good example. You know, we need to be zealous, passionate, have an ardor about us, have a pursuit of something greater than ourselves, of God, of good works, and of those that are lost and without the Lord. Being zealous Christians.